Hey everyone, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and today my guest is Eric Brew. Eric has proudly served in the Army for nearly 25 years, and he's currently the Georgia Director of Warrior Set Free Ministry. And today we're going to learn about his unique approach to helping service members and first responders navigate and overcome life's battles. And before we get into that, welcome to the show, Eric. Really glad to have you here.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate being here. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, me too. We met in Atlanta at the Military Influencer Conference, and it was a great conference. So many of the guests over the last couple of weeks that I've interviewed were people I met at the conference, and so the listener is probably getting sick of me mentioning the Military Influencer Conference. But I am bringing this up for a reason, because I know that the conference, you know, it's an annual conference. They have things every year. For folks who want to get involved in the military community, the, you know, different things that are going on, it was a great conference. They had a lot of great speakers, people there showcasing their services and things like that. Great people to meet there. I think it was an incredible event, and I certainly am looking forward to next year. So,
yeah, Curtez puts on a heck of a conference, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful. So, give us an overview of what Warriors Set Free does for military personnel and first responders. I know those are kind of the two categories of folks that you primarily deal with. Give us an overview of the services. What could people expect, from the organization? Kind of overview.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, Warriors Set Free's mission statement is to grow our faith, heal from the past, and win life's battles. And so I guess it'd be smart if I gave you kind of the 30,000 foot overview of the story, kind of how Warrior Set Free came to be. Almost 30 years ago, 29 years ago, a guy named Dean Vandermay up in Michigan started a ministry called Set Free Ministries. And in that ministry, he started to build this process by which he called a freedom appointment. And what he did is he took a book written by Dr. Neil Anderson, who happens to be a very good friend of Dean's, and took that book and turned it into a manual. How do we biblically base, how do we take what it says in the Bible and walk through the traumas of life? How do we deal with it? What do we do with it? And that worked great for two decades. It worked really, really well. Dean has story after story after story of people being set free from the stuff of their past. 10 years ago, a guy named Steve Prince came through the program, and Steve was a Army veteran. And because we are so careful with not telling someone else's story, I'll be very careful on how I do this. Steve worked for another ministry. And so he had a ministry. He was married. Things were kind of starting to fall apart. They were starting to unravel, and he couldn't pull it together anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he came across Dean. They've been friends. They've known each other. And Steve said, "Hey man, I need to do this thing." And so Dean's like, "Yeah, you know, you do. It's time for a freedom appointment, buddy." And so they sat down, they went through this process called a freedom appointment. And essentially what happened, and I'm sure Steve would tell his own story much better than I do, but essentially what happened is Steve walked out of that freedom appointment, and it boggled his mind, because what he discovered is that is what every active duty veteran and first responder needs. Because of, and I'm not, please hear me, Scott, I am not downplaying the average civilian's life or traumas that we experience in childhood. And there are some very unique traumas that we as service members, we as first responders deal with. And so Steve was just absolutely blown away by what that process looked like. And he said, "You know, if I could just change some of the language and make it our language, right? Something we understand." And so what he did is Dean and Steve came together and they built Warriors Set Free, which is essentially the active duty veteran and first responder arm of Set Free. Okay. Excellent. So that happened 10 years ago. This expansion down here in Georgia happened last July. And so I went through a freedom appointment. I was in a pretty dark and disheveled place. And if we get to that point in my story, we'll get to that point in my story, but I'm pretty unapologetic with it. So sure. I was in a very dark place in my life. And I met Steve by going to another ministry up in Michigan. That is my home state. I went to another ministry for a 4-day men's event to get some freedom, I was dealing with some stuff. My dad is a veteran and had been through the program, begged me to come up and go through what we call a hero's return. So I went up there, went through a hero's return. By that, I met Steve Prince. Steve said, "Hey man, I know, I know you dealt with a lot this week, but I am confident that you have not offloaded everything. And so I really think you need to go through this freedom appointment. And I was like, I don't know what a freedom appointment is. I don't know. I just met you, right?
Right.
But I felt this tugging. I felt this yearning to kind of like let it all go. I got tired of carrying the crap that the world had convinced me I was supposed to carry, right? And so I sat down with Steve and we went through this freedom appointment and I had the same revelation he did, right? Like if I could just put every one of my brothers and sisters, if I could just sit them down, if I could just show them, right? This is what God says. This is what the Bible says. This is how we deal with this. This is how we fight this. I really think we make a dent. And so some months later, Steve reached out to me and said, hey man, we've been praying over doing an expansion. We've never done an expansion before. We've always been in Michigan. But we really feel like Georgia is where we're being called, given the large veteran population in Georgia. And now we are convinced that you are the one that's going to lead it. I'm really good at a Heisman pose. So I stiff-armed Steve. I was working for another nonprofit, and I had a great career started. I just retired from the military. And Steve chased me down for the better part of 2.5 years. To the point that every time I stiff-armed him, I got to the point where I wasn't intentionally, he'll tell you I was intentionally not taking his calls, but that's not true. He just happened to call at the worst possible time. But I wasn't taking his calls. Steve flew from Michigan to Georgia, drove down to my office and interrupted a meeting, essentially to tell me he wasn't done chasing me and to give me a hug. And I don't know that I'll ever be able to repay him for that. That sticks. You know, when somebody takes time out of their day like that, that's time out of your days, right? That's multiple right. days. At any rate, this last April, my son went through a Heroes Return, that same ministry up in Michigan. They brought it down to Georgia to kind of do a test bed to see what it looks like. I was able to serve on that event alongside my dad. So my dad served as a volunteer. I served as a volunteer. My son participated. And I watched my son get rocked in the absolute best of ways. And we had a very special, right, three-generational moment of true healing and freedom in Christ. And during that event, Steve and Dean were both there. I did not know Dean was going to be there. I knew Steve was going to be there. Dean is the founder of this whole thing, right? He's kind of a big deal in my book. Like, I'm a big fan of Dean. He has now become one of my greatest spiritual mentors. At any rate, both of those gentlemen were there. And they walked into my room. And they started talking to me about this expansion again. And in my head, I was just like, guys, like, can I just enjoy my son's event? Like, I just want to be a dad for a minute. And so I tried to kind of, patty cake with him a little bit, keep him happy, sure. But at the same time, kind of avoid the hard sell. And I will not forget. And Dean, I think Dean does not remember saying this, which is even more, I mean, it's even more a moment of the Holy Spirit, right? Dean does not remember saying this, but Dean stepped forward and he looked at me and he said, son, the Holy Spirit's getting really tired of you being disobedient. And I was like, I'm an emotional guy, but like, I'm not a super like theatric guy, right? I'm not a theatrical guy. But dude, when I tell you that rocked me to my core, like I felt the words of God telling me that this is what I've been asking you to do and you are not doing it. So I left that event. I went and told my wife, and I truthfully expected my wife to be on my side, right? And we've got a good career. We've got things going on. I'm working at a national level for a massive nonprofit. I'm having a great time. I got a great career. I fully expected her to back me up. And she did not. She said, no, this is a good thing. She says, you have not been the same man since you went through your freedom appointment. And if you're telling me that you don't want other men to feel that, like, I just don't believe you. I know you do. And so we made the decision to accept the challenge of starting ministry, something I've never done before. Like, guys, I'm not a super smart guy, right? I'm a knuckle dragging grunt to the core. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a pastor. Like, I don't have a high school diploma. I mean, I have a high school diploma. I don't have a college degree, right? I have a high school diploma, barely. So this, in my mind, right, in my own vision of my self-worth, I was the last person that should be doing this. And yet a year and a half almost later, here we are. And God has got this ministry thriving. But yeah, that's a little bit of an overview. How's that?
I like it. I like the background. I like the backstory and trying to figure out, you know, where did this organization come from, and you know, the challenges that you had to face in getting this organization up and running. Not only you, but I mean, you were a bit of a challenge, I suppose.
Yeah, I was the problem. No, I was 100% the problem.
But you know, for people out there who maybe are experiencing a similar moment, crossroads. It's like they're content in their path, their current path that they're on, and they got a good job maybe and a good setup. Things are comfortable and everything, but there's this little voice, or maybe a big voice, and maybe somebody's getting on an airplane flying out to come see you and say, hey, let's go. Pack your stuff. Let's go. We're going to do something different and change courses for you. I'm not saying that that's going to be the right thing every time, right? You gotta trust your gut. You know, you have to, obviously if you're married, talk with your spouse about, these things. You don't want to just make a knee jerk decision like that.
Not advised.
No, definitely not advised. That will cause very many angry conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
We're trying to avoid those, right? looking for opportunities and being open to opportunities that you may not necessarily expect to be coming your way. They happen. These things do happen where somebody reaches out and it's like, hey, this might be the right thing. And it, of course, they could be wrong, and it could be the mm-hmm. wrong thing. But be open to those things and consider them, and consider taking on a challenge and pushing yourself outside of that comfort zone. Like you said, you've never done this before, but they kept knocking on your door saying you were the right guy for it. So they have done it before. They probably know a little bit about you and your background if they're going to continuously be knocking down your door. So, maybe you are the right guy, right?
Or maybe they just have bad judgment. I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet.
Either way, if the ship goes down, they're coming
That's
down
right.
too.
So, that's right. That's right.
Not that you want the ship to come down, but if that's there, that's on them. But I think they've been doing this for a number of years, like you said, 30-ish years or so of experience, and so they clearly have some understanding of what's required of this position. And so take all those things. I guess what I'm trying to come down to is take all those things into consideration when you are presented with opportunities that maybe are a little bit outside the box, maybe a little bit not quite what you're expecting, all that kind of stuff, and kind of take it from there. But so let's dive in a little bit more about the organization, obviously, the work focuses on healing people through faith and that type of thing. So how does it work? How does this approach work in helping the veterans and first responders deal with the traumas in their past, the baggage that they're carrying?
That's a great question. And it boils down to this really this one simple thing. And I've said this before, anybody who knows me knows I say this all the time. The problem is this walk with Christ is really simple. It's a lot of do this, don't do that. If you, then I didn't say it was easy. Easy's not in the mix, but simple is, right? And so here's the simple answer. It's about truly laying down what you've carried for far too long at the foot of the cross and walking away from it, leaving it there, right? In Matthew 11, Jesus encourages us to trade yokes with him, right? It says his burden is light, right? He can teach us. We can find rest. In Psalm 55 and 22, it says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. And I'm a Christ following, unapologetic son of the Most High. And I'm telling you that my opinion is that this book, this is the only authoritative standard for truth. And so if you believe what's on page 65, you got to believe the whole book. Right? You have to. And so those are promises that we get to stand on, where God says, if you just will do this thing, if you will give your burdens to the Lord, he'll take them and he's going to take care of you. If you will trade yokes with me, my way is lighter. It's, it, I, I would love to make it super complicated. I know that we want to make religion and faith very, very complicated and convoluted, and we like to cause division and cause all. But the fact is, if you just worry about a relationship with Christ, it's not overly complex. It's very simple. It's just really hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. The world will tell us, especially in it's not just our guys, but especially our guys, right? That we're tougher the more crap we carry.
Right.
Right. Like it's almost like the stupid badge of honor, and I fell victim to it. Like I'm not looking down my nose at anyone. This was 99% of my problem. Right. I had all this crap, all this trauma from childhood, from life, from the military, from combat, whatever. I had all this stuff that just kept compiling. Right. And I thought I was a tough guy because I could handle it. And I didn't realize that even though I didn't see it, even though I couldn't recognize it, I was bleeding all over everyone around me. Mm-hmm. It was negatively affecting my children. I've got 2 failed marriages under my belt. Like I am walking, talking, breathing example of the type of dude who's been bamboozled into believing that like I'm supposed to be this tough guy that carries all this crap.
That your rucksack is supposed to be heavier than everyone else's.
If it's not, I'm a weakling. I'm doing yep. something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So at the core of what we do, right, at the core of where we go with this is really just an opportunity to lay things at the foot of the cross. And what I love about our ministry and what we do, especially in a freedom appointment, is we set a table for the participant, right? We set a table and we set an opportunity for them to do business with God. Most of our churches, and I go to a church, I have a corporate church I go to, I believe in church, I believe in community, and I think our churches are really good at making new believers. I think the discipleship piece falls on us. I can't expect my pastor who has, you know, 8,000 members to disciple every single person. That's not fair.
Right.
That's what we're here for, right? That's where people have to step in and say, okay, Jesus told us to make disciples of all men. And that order didn't go out to just pastors.
Right.
Right? That went out to everybody.
Yeah, it's not fair or effective.
Correct.
To have one person do that, right?
Correct. Yeah. So it's incumbent upon us to find people who are struggling. And I think there's no better person to identify with somebody who's struggling than with somebody who struggled. We have all these ridiculous adages like hurt people, yeah. right? And that's true. Hurt people do hurt people. I also believe that people who have let God heal them will point to God for healing for somebody else.
Yeah.
And we can help more people.
If one is true, the opposite is also true, right?
Absolutely.
So, and so, you know, as you're talking, I like to make analogies as it helps me wrap my head around different things. And so, one of the things that you were saying is that your approach is very simple. Mm-hmm. You know, what the Bible says is very simple, and everything in there is simple, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
And at first, I was like, well, those two things are contradictory. They don't mesh up together. But then I was thinking, well, military life is very simple. Mm-hmm. You follow orders. You do what you're told. You show up where you're supposed to be. You're wearing the uniform you're supposed to be wearing. You eat the food that you're supposed to be eating. And, you know, you do all the things that you're told to do. It doesn't mean that those things aren't going to be hard.
Right.
Right. Go climb that mountain and go attack that enemy. Okay, well, that's going to be hard.
Yep.
It's very simple. Just go do it.
Yep.
And, you know, figure it out. But it's not a difficult command to understand, but it's hard to execute.
Yep.
And so if you were, you know, my, you know, platoon sergeant or something and said, Scott, go take that hill, I'm going to be like, I'm going to need to take a couple guys with me because I ain't doing it by myself.
Exactly. You know?
And so that's the analogy that I'm coming up with here where you guys come in, and you're that squad that's going along with the guy who needs to go take that hill.
Yeah.
It's my job to take that hill. I can't do it alone. I need some help.
Yeah.
And so here we go.
And that's the bottom line, right? Like I was saying yeah. about churches, like churches will tell us that we need to do this. They'll tell us, even some of them will tell us how, right? What I love about when we sit down for a freedom appointment is it's not just you need to, and it's not just you how. We sit there with them while they do it. So we present opportunities for them to have a one-on-one conversation with the Father that says, all right, this is the thing I'm dealing with. this is the thing I'm struggling with, God. Let's walk through it. Mm-hmm. I'm about to ruin my ministry because this is the worst sales pitch I can give anybody, right? But it sucks. It sucks when you have to sit and own habitual sin, when you've got to sit and take responsibility for things you've done wrong, when you've got to forgive people you don't want to forgive. It sucks. And the freedom on the backside of that, if you do that biblically, is like nothing I can explain. There's a reason that the Bible calls it the peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace you cannot understand. And I am standing in it right now. I am living in it, right? If you would have met me 10 years ago, I was angry. I had stipulations for what people had to do if they were going to be liked by me, right? They had to meet certain marks. You don't get my trust for nothing. I was mad.
Right.
And it all had to do with unresolved issues that started truthfully in my childhood, which is another topic, but is a terrifying truth. And I don't have the statistics on me, so I'm not going to make them up. Although 60% of all statistics are made up. I'm not going to make this up, but the numbers of service members who have joined service who have childhood trauma that's staggering. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely staggering. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm not going to be a victim again.
Right.
I will not be a victim again. I'm going to go be a part of whatever it is, the Marine Corps, the Special Forces, the Navy, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to go whatever my vision of the toughest dudes walking the planet. I'm going to go be a part of that. And I'm going to go be a part of a family. And I'm going to go be a part of somebody who's going to actually care about me. I'm going to be a part of a team. And I'm going to go be a part of something bigger than myself. And I'm going to go do this thing so that I never fall victim again. Mm-hmm. And then we leave all that stuff sitting there in a box somewhere, right? With a chain and a rope and a lock on it. And then we become performance minded because now I've got to make sure that everybody likes me. So I've got to be really good at what I do. And man, does the military love people who are performance minded, right? Not to their discredit, but to their credit. They know their population, right? And they stoke that. It's how they get high performers out of the military.
Yeah, right.
Find someone who's addicted to performance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's about sitting down and taking the opportunity to say, okay, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. This ruck has gotten too heavy.
Right.
Right.
And to your point, those things that happened even pre-military, whether it was childhood, maybe you had a failed marriage before you joined the military, or, a bunch of things. People have all sorts of different varied backgrounds. Doesn't really matter what that thing is, but when you put it in that box and you shove it at the bottom of the ruck, and then you start piling other stuff on top of it. Naturally, as you're starting to sit there and unpack things, you're think about literally unpacking a rucksack. Mm-hmm. You're going to start from the top and work your way down to the bottom. Yep. And it almost should be the opposite. You should start from the bottom, like, first in, first out. Like, let's look at the bottom and, start unpacking that stuff, because that might help you explain what's going on with this other stuff. Why did that other thing affect you so much? Right. Why did that, that situation in combat, why did that affect you so much? Well, maybe if you understand a little bit more about yourself and kind of unpack some of that stuff, that might help. Again, not easy to do, right? Which is why you need some help, when I've seen guys, their ruck was so heavy that when they go to try to put it on, they're on the ground and they put the straps on. They go to try to sit up and they're like a turtle on their back.
Yep.
They their legs flailing, their arms, and they can't get up. But they need somebody else to help pull them up. And once they're up, they can handle it for a little bit because that's a lot of weight. But you still need somebody else, and that's okay to need somebody else. And somebody might be sitting here thinking, well, I'm that tough guy. I can handle it. But can you really? Like, look around you. Like, how are things going for you? Yeah. And to your point, 10 years ago, you were angry. You had all these conditions or requirements on other people, and just wasn't a happy place to be. It wasn't a positive, encouraging place where, you know, you're, you know, having good relationships with other people, with your spouse, with kids, with neighbors, even coworkers, whatever. Yeah. That's not a positive experience, right? And so, you know, for the listeners, take a look around. Like,
yeah,
take an honest assessment. How are things going? You know, right. and not, oh, it's not going good because she said this and she did that and he did this and he did that and, you know, any of that. How are things really going? You know, right? And so, you know, take that assessment and now say, okay, what kind of crap do I have to unpack?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now, what are some of the biggest things, like through your experience with all this, what are some of the biggest things that people are battling with and you know, how are you able to help them kind of walk through this? And it could be, you know, generic. I'm not looking for specific people. And, you know, give me, you know, Jane Doe's name and, you know, phone number. And we're going to call her up and talk to her about it.
Want to verify this story?
Yeah, verify it, because, you know, otherwise I'm not putting fake news out there. You know,
right.
Just, you know, kind of in general, you know, what kind of stuff are you guys seeing kind of more frequently?
I think the number one thing that we're seeing, and it's kind of a combination, a compilation of different things, but I think it starts with not knowing the truth about what God says about you and about who you are, right? Not understanding what the Word of God says about who you are as His creation, right? And then that kind of tumbleweeds, right, into believing the lies the enemy has for you, right? We have a very real enemy, right? So anything... Again, if you believe what's on page 67, you got to believe the whole book, right? Like he's in the book, right? He made the book.
Right.
And so when you start to believe the lies of the enemy, you start to succumb to the validation of your right, right? So now when we have a veteran who's, or a first responder who is talking about their identity being wrapped up in what they did, you're right. You were a great soldier. Validate that in my own head, right? So the enemy, Satan cannot create anything. He is not a creator. There's only one creator. He's an imitator, right? Now, what he can do is he can whisper in your head, right?
Yeah.
But if you came to me and said, hey, man, I really think you should rob that bank, well, you whisper it in my ear, but I have a choice as to whether or not to listen to that.
Sure.
Right? And so in a world that we have built for ourselves today where validation means so much and being edified means everything, and you've got to, my feelings matter, right? This is the devil's playground, because as I sit down and go, everything's falling apart. You're right. I can't. They'd be better off without me. You're right. This is what happens. This is the enemy we're fighting. He doesn't play by rules. There's no Geneva Convention for this dude.
Sure.
Right. He doesn't care that you're hurting. He doesn't care. And he's going to take advantage of it. So the number one thing that we see is people who don't understand what God has said about who they are and what their purpose is. They've now succumbed to the lies of the enemy, right? They're being validated with their own thoughts and with their own crap that they've dealt with and the voices of others and now the voices of the enemy, right? And it's even, I hope I don't make anybody upset with me on this, but this letting it make me identify as the broken veteran, right? This victim mentality that we've taken on. And I think we think it's still tough. I don't know how we marry those two, but this, like, oh yeah, I've got this and I've got that. Okay. And you're right. Now what? Well, this happened to me. You're right. Now what? Well, I can't, you just don't, you're right. Now what? What are we going to do with it?
Right.
Right. And so if we can get people to understand who they are, as a creation of God, as the Son of the Most High, right? If you ask me who Eric is, I've got my identities in check, finally. Dude, I'm 48 years old, and I finally have my identities in check, right? If you ask me who I am, I'm an unapologetic Son of the Most High. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a granddad. I'm a son. I'm a brother. Like, I can roll down the list because those relationships and those identities are highlighted in this book in order of merit. Because in Genesis, it tells us that God created man. That's my first relationship. That's my first identity. Then he made them husband and wife. That's my second relationship, my second identity. Then he made them a father through Cain. I'm a second, my third identity, my third relationship, and so on and so forth.
Sure.
It's written in the book. It's simple. He's given us the recipe. We just have to get our identities in order, mm-hmm. get our relationships in order. And we've got, in order to do all of that, it is my humble opinion. It's my humble opinion. We need to learn the voice and the character of the Father. Because the world has voices. The enemy has a voice. My spouse has a voice. My kids have voices. Everything has a voice. And it gets loud sometimes in here. It gets so loud. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and I don't want to take us too far off track, but I was talking to my daughter, and this is actually, that's not true. It wasn't the other day. This was several months ago. She's 26. We were talking about the voice and the character of the Father. And she's like, Dad, I don't really know. I'm not picking up what you're putting down. I was like, all right, check this out. You're my daughter. She said, yes. I said, I'm your dad. She said, yes. I said, okay. There are millions of kids in this world who don't know who their dad is. They've just never met him. They have one because that's how science works, but they just don't know him. They've never met their dad. I said, Dominique, if you were one of those kids, I could stand in a room being your father, but you've never met me. I could stand in that room with four other men and we could all tell you, we love you. This is what we want for you. We could all have different opinions. We could have similar opinions. We could all speak to you and you wouldn't know who to listen to. But because we've spent 26 years cultivating a relationship, you have read the notes that I left you. You have asked me questions. You have listened to my answers. You have asked me for things that I have given them to you. We have built and cultivated this relationship. I could stand in a room with 5,000 men and you know exactly where your daddy is. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen without both of us working on it. Because if I take that same scenario and I say, okay, well, I tried to do all of this stuff for you and I wrote you letters and I did things for you, but you never spoke to me. You never engaged with me. You sat on the couch, watched TV, never once spoke to me or asked me questions, then you still wouldn't know anything about my voice or my character.
Right.
You have to. And so if I say we need to learn the voice of the character, we need to, or the voice and the character of the Father, that means we need to engage with him. We start asking, okay, God, I'm going to call your bluff. What does this Bible say about who I am? Well, it starts to tell you. And if you're reading it for true understanding, it starts to highlight it for you. It starts to show you who he made you to be. And then you realize that there's not much of a reason to be angry anymore. And it says that I can lay stuff at the foot of the cross, and it says that I can not carry stuff. It says that all my guilt is gone. Oof, I don't know how I do that. How do I get rid of my guilt? Right?
That's a tough one. All right.
Yeah. And that's in the book. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think what we see the most is that people just don't know the rules and they don't have the tools.
Right. And again, another analogy, you know, rules and tools. You say these things and I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I'm going to go play a baseball game, I don't have a glove, I don't have a helmet, I don't have a bat, I don't have, you know, cleats, I don't have, you know, any of that kind of stuff, I'm probably not going to do very well. I'm setting myself up for failure.
Yep.
I might be able to walk out on the field. I might be able to catch a ball with no glove.
It's gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt, but I could do it.
Yeah.
I may not want to for very long. Like after the first one, my hands are gonna be kind of sore, and I'm probably gonna be like, you know what, I'm gonna let that one go. Let someone else handle that one.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not gonna handle things very well. I get up the bat, get up to the plate, and get ready to swing. I got nothing to swing. I don't have a bat. So I don't have the tools. Yep. To do that. If I never read the rules or never was taught the rules, right? Because realistically, what kid playing baseball is sitting there reading the rule book for baseball, right? Their coaches, though, are there to teach them and let them know, okay, you run to first base. First base is over there on the right. You go there first, and then you go to second, and then third, and home, and you swing the bat when the ball comes, and all these things. And baseball is probably a good example because the rules are super intricate and detailed and difficult to understand, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of rules in that Bible too.
But right? It's simple, right? Right? Hit the ball, run, catch the ball, throw.
There it is. Yeah,
it's super simple. It's just not always easy.
Right. Exactly. And it takes practice. I think that's the other piece that makes this analogy really great. Is that it takes a lot of practice. You're not going to just walk out on the field not knowing a thing about baseball and be an all-star. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
You got to practice. And it's not, you know, for an hour a week or something like that. It's daily. Get out there, throw a ball, catch the ball, have a catch with somebody, or swing a bat. You know, all these things that you got to do, you got to practice over and over and over. And it's a muscle memory thing. Yeah. And if you don't do it for a while, those muscles, they start to get a little weak, right? And so, yeah, you kind of have to do it.
Yeah,
consistently, right?
On my screen, and you can't see my screen, but on my screen, it's really funny that you say it like that, because I have a sign up on my screen, right? It's my screensaver, and it's the noun definition of Christian. And my noun definition of Christian is very simple: the gooderest trier ever. I'm not going to be perfect.
Sure.
But I am going to wake up every day with a heart and a heart posture and a fire in my belly to be the best example of Christ I can be.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And so I'm sure there's some listeners out there who are dealing with their own struggles. I won't claim to know what they are. Everyone's got different things going on, different stuff that they're carrying, and they might be looking for some guidance and some help with this. What's the first step to getting through some of this stuff?
The first step is in my humble opinion, right, is a staunch faith in God. That's the first step. But here's the thing, and let me break that out. I know how much you love analogies, Scott, so I'm going to use an analogy, right? For anyone who has ever been injured and had to go to the emergency department, the ED, right, or the ER, we used to call it, right? For anyone who's ever been injured and needs to get to an emergency room, when they got to the emergency room, they did not care what the other patients in the waiting room were there for. They did not care what the other patients thought of them when they walked in. They just wanted to get in front of a doctor.
Right.
Christ himself said, healthy people don't need a doctor. This is not about getting yourself right to go before God and then claim to be perfect. This is about showing up in your sweatpants, in your UGG boots, and a robe, and your hair in a towel, trying to just get to the doctor. The first step is just getting to the doctor. Get to the foot of Christ. Get to where he can meet you where you are. Right? And sometimes that's on a living room on your knees. Sometimes that's in a church setting. Sometimes that's in a small group. Sometimes that's with a brother or sister. It doesn't matter. Sometimes if you're like me, it's sitting on your couch with a 9mm in your mouth and hearing who you cannot deny was God tell you to stop. Sometimes it's something like that. Sometimes it's a very simple, quiet voice while you're driving, but something is driving you. You know, there are 80 names for God in the Bible. And I think that my favorite, although it's not in there, I think my favorite name for God is something. Something told me. Something made me.
Right.
Something made me feel. Something made me. Yes, I know. I know. And I know who that something is, right? So the first step is getting in front of the doctor. That's it. It's just get in front of the doctor. And the best part is when the doctor starts to heal you, right? When you go to walk out of the ER, right? And this is where a lot of people come in with church hurt, things that people, other Christians have failed. First of all, let me just pause real quick, and maybe you can help me remember where I left off, because I'm not gonna. But Christians are broken and sinful human beings. Mm-hmm. They're going to fail. If I sit down at a piano right now to play Mozart, and I am not musically inclined on a piano at all, right? I'm going to screw it up. I'm gonna jack it up. It's gonna sound horrible.
Right.
But the people around me are not going to blame Mozart. They're gonna blame me.
Sure.
I'm the one that screwed it up. So when Christians jack up Christianity, we have to be careful not to blame God just because they're not following the rules.
I like how you put that. Yeah,
right. I get it. They hurt you. You're right. Now what? You're right. So as you get ready to walk out of the hospital, as you are getting ready to leave the ER, so many people feel like as they're walking out after seeing the doctor, that everybody's now looking at them. How are they going to be different? How are they going to change? What's going to happen? But here's the thing. If I walk out of the ER, I'm not stopping in the waiting room and letting anyone inspect the work the doctor's done. I've never done that. I've never had a cast on and called my mom and been like, hey mom, will you come check this out? Make sure he did this right. We don't do that. It's the same with God. You don't have to let anyone inspect the work God's done. Just get to the doctor. Just get to the foot of Christ. Just get to where you can grab a hold of the hem of his robe and feel the healing power of what he can do.
Yeah, you trust that the doctor's done their job right. And there's no reason for letting the other patients in the waiting room inspect. Like, oh, let me check out, see if this is the right doctor for me. Is he going to be able to put that cast on right? Or is he,
yep.
You know, did he prescribe you the right medications? Or, you know, did he, whatever it is, you know, you don't do that, right? And as a patient sitting there in the waiting room, to your point earlier, when you are going into the emergency room, you don't care about the other people who are sitting around. You're in there because you are hurt, you are sick, you need healing, you need to get your face in front of a doctor and get that that problem resolved. And yeah, I really do love analogies, and it really does help. It helps bring things together for me. It makes me 100%. Understand things a little bit better. You know, you give a relatable example, a baseball example, a hospital example, something like that. You know, people can wrap their heads around a sport, a hospital setting, because they've seen it, they've experienced it, right? Unfortunately, I think partially to what you're saying. Is that not everybody has experienced this relationship that you're talking about.
Yep.
And so that's where these analogies come in to say like, hey, look, it could be like that too. You know?
Yeah.
Sure. Maybe you need somebody to help coach you because, right, pick up the Bible, start reading it from page one, read all the way through to the end. There's a lot of concepts in there that, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose. You're going to be getting a lot of information and you might need some help walking through that.
Yeah.
And
if you start reading the Bible without proper context and you're looking for an angry, vengeful God, without proper context, you'll find him.
Sure.
You'll find the angry, vengeful God. If you're looking for the God that forgives everything and it doesn't matter what I do, right? If you read the Bible without context, you'll find him. Right. And that's why, like, when people say, well, how do you, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, New Covenant, Old Covenant, what do I? And here's the way I look at this. When we just, because you brought this up, when I look at the Bible, I analyze it this way. Very simple. I'm a simple guy, knuckle dragger, right? The Old Testament shows me that I need a savior. Because if I lay my life against the rules and regulations and the things that God has set in place, I need a savior. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So the Old Testament shows me I need a savior. The New Testament shows me I have one,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I can marry those two things, and now when I start reading the Word of God with context, I start using other people to help me navigate it, or study guides, or whatever it is that I'm using, right? The Bible for dummies, I don't care, right? Like, do something that helps provide context. I always tell people to read the Bible with 20/20 vision, mm-hmm. right? So when you read a verse, I don't believe in just reading one verse. So when you read a verse, you read the 20 verses before and the 20 verses after, right?
Okay.
And that's
gives you context.
It's an analogy, but you know, read a section, read a verse, or read a chapter, read the book, read uh-huh. two books if you have to get the context of what they're saying, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so there's also the healing benefit of the connection, the personal connections that mm-hmm. that folks have with each other, right? And I know a lot of times there's going to be vets who just isolate themselves. They want to push people away. They don't connect well with other people. And they might be saying to themselves, well, this is kind of scary. I kind of don't want to do with this. How does the interpersonal connection, how does that play a role in all of this?
It's my favorite part. Like, this is God has taken me from this super angry dude who didn't like anybody to this guy that's really squishy and malleable. And like, I just love everybody. And so like, I'm a crier, I'm a hugger now. The interpersonal stuff, I think, is my favorite. And if you're local to me, okay. So our headquarters, for the Georgia expansion of Warrior Set Free is in Columbus, Georgia. So we're right outside of what used to be Fort Benning, is now Fort Moore. Mm-hmm. My office is 7 miles from the gate. Okay, so we're very, very close. So if you're local to me, I start everything with a meal. If I find a veteran, if somebody refers a veteran to me, if I'm talking to somebody, the first thing I say to them is, let me take you out for lunch. Would you prefer breakfast? I try not to do dinners because a lot of times that's date night for me and the wife, and you know, I gotta manage that. But either breakfast or lunch, let's have a meal, let's share a meal. Because again, I just go back to this book, I go back to Christ's example, and there's a lot of stories where he ate with people. There's even a couple stories where he fed 5,000 and 4,000, mm-hmm. right? So feeding people, there's something to that. I don't really know what it is. I haven't uncovered the connection. I'll ask him when I get up there, right? Like, I don't know what it is, but I see you're doing it. So pretty simple. I'm going to do it.
Sure.
Right? So I start with a meal. The biggest thing is some of us just want to be heard. We just want to be, we want a safe place where we feel like we're not going to get judged, mm-hmm. to tell you I'm hurting. So I usually use a meal for that. But we also do other things. So we got the freedom appointment. We also do a Bible study every Tuesday morning. It is virtual. So anyone around the country, we've got folks in different states that show up. I give you guys the warning. I am not a super stoke, a super, you know, super cool theologian. But I love reading about Jesus and I love reading the story of God. So we dive in. I've got notes here from this morning. So we did our Bible study this morning, had a great conversation. But Bible study is one way that we do it, right? That's a way that we can stay connected. We also have what we call a Warriors Battle, which is a 4-day men's event. And that is, that thing's powerful, man. And we can talk about that, you know, whenever you want, but that 4-day men's event. And unfortunately that's not going to be great for somebody who wants to isolate.
Sure.
Cause this last event we had 22 guys that were there, 22 veterans. Actually, I'm going to get my numbers wrong. I think we had 18 veterans and then three or four active duty guys that were there. But that thing's powerful. Yeah, when you start putting dudes in the same room and they start realizing that they're not alone, mm-hmm. and now they're starting to navigate trauma with each other, man, oh man.
Yeah. And I think for those folks who maybe are the isolating types, right. And that might seem like a big step to, mm-hmm. to go out and be involved in a group like that, 4 days with people, you know, I'm very much an introvert.
Yep.
And when we were at the Military Influencer Conference, there was close to 2,000 people there.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'm there talking to people all day, you know, pretty much, and it gets overwhelming for me. Anyways, look, I took a break, and I took it in little chunks. There were times where I actually just went back up to the hotel room and I just sat in there for a half hour just to kind of decompress and recharge my batteries a bit. And then I'm like, okay, let's get back to it. You know, for folks who are having those kind of thoughts, like, I don't think I can handle that. Start off with, you know, the groups that you're talking, like the virtual groups, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Start with something like that.
And even the freedom appointment, that's really, so we do ministry two by two, right? So it'll be me and one of our volunteers or me and one of our staff members. And it's just us and you, there's nobody else, whether it's in person or online. There's nobody else. It's just an intimate moment. And that's really what we want to create. That's what I was trying to say earlier. We want to create this intimate moment between you and the Father. He's your creator. You're his created, right? If you look at Genesis, right? Like, God created the world in Genesis 1, and in Genesis 3, we destroyed it. Like, it took us 2 pages to ruin what God created through sin, right?
Right.
The rest of the book until Revelation 22 is just God trying to get back time with his kids, with his created. He just wants to get back to that. Mm-hmm. So we want to create a space where you get to have that one-on-one conversation with the Father. So for someone who is a little bit more introverted, who is a little bit more, I don't know if I can do a big group thing, hit us up and let's do a freedom appointment. And truthfully, for everyone, right? It is my humble opinion that you are never done being grown and you're never done being sharpened, right? So my advice to everyone is do a freedom appointment. Come to a 4-day men's event. Do the Bible studies. Get involved with your church. Get involved with your local groups. Do what you've got to do to surround yourself with godly people as you work through the healing process, because that thing is not, it's not a one and done. It is not. And life is still going to life you in the face. Even if you have to, seriously, even after you go through a war eater, a freedom appointment, and you've emptied out a bunch of your rucksack and you've got, you're feeling lighter and you're like, yeah, I can do this. Let's go. You're going to wake up tomorrow and life's still going to hit you in the jaw.
Yeah, right.
Right? The benefit of what we do when we go through a freedom appointment is that now that we've gotten rid of all of the things from your past, now when the things from when tomorrow hits, it never goes in the rucksack because now you know the tools, you know the rule, or you have the tools, you know the rules to be able to skip the rucksack and put it straight to the foot of the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know where to put it, and the rucksack is not it.
And now I'm walking light and I'm walking free, and that's the question I ask every single person when I meet them: how free do you want to be?
Right. Yeah, and I love that example too, because as a couple of grunts on this show right now, we are not we definitely are familiar with carrying a rucksack, heavy sack, and how much better it feels when you take a few things out of that rucksack and you don't have to carry all that weight.
That rucksack
so
flop is real, bro.
Yeah.
That rucksack flop is real.
Yeah. Big time. You know, as soon as you take it off, you feel like $1 million.
And yeah.
I could keep going at this point. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, find a different place to put that. And I don't mean find a different place by, you know, now carry a wagon, drag a wagon behind you, and you
know, get something bigger so you can make it more heavy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let's go get a trailer and haul that around. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, exactly what you said. You know, be able to unburden that. You know, in that way, I think is the way that folks need to kind of look at it, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's great the way that you guys operate. I love that you shared the story of kind of the background and how the organization started. I'm sure there's some listeners out there who might be interested in finding out more about Warrior Set Free, mm-hmm. and how you guys operate, when, you know, when they can maybe get involved in some of these things that you mentioned. Where can people go to find out more information, whether they're local or virtual, you know, and how can they get involved?
Absolutely. So the first thing I would tell you is just to go to the website, which is warriorssetfree.org, right? So O-R-G. Okay. You can also find us on Facebook, Warriors Set Free on Facebook. You can find us on IG. That would be warriors_set_free, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but look, Warriors Set Free on IG. We also have a YouTube channel. We also have our own podcast that one of our counterparts runs. You can find that there. That's called actually Rules and Tools, which is kind of funny. nice. I won't claim that that was Dean that coined that. That's Dean's. So I'll let him have it. And then we're also on LinkedIn. So, excellent. You know, most of your social platforms we're on. The website's there. And if they want to talk to me directly, you can email me at eric@warriorsetfree.org. It's
perfect.
Very simple.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to put those links. I'll verify and double check all those links and put them in the show notes so that folks have the accurate, correct links to get to, you know, whether it's social media, the website, all that stuff. I'll put all of that in there for folks so that they are getting to the right place.
I appreciate that, bud.
Yeah, no problem. And yeah, so definitely check out the website, social media, get in touch, get involved. Take that rucksack off and, you know, unburden yourself with that. And really, truthfully, think about how much better life would be if you didn't have to carry that, right? Because let's face it, there's more stuff coming your way, right?
Yep.
Life's not done filling up that rucksack, and that rucksack, unlike the ones that we carried, they're going to actually expand and get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're going to just continue to carry more crap. How much crap do you really want to carry?
Yeah,
you know,
how free do you want to be?
Yeah, to your point, how free do you want to be? And you know, I would suggest let's drop the rucksack and use those tools that you mentioned, to make sure that you don't have to continue carrying all those things, because life ain't done with you yet.
Nope.
So, but Eric, anyways, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show, joining me to just share all the resources and information that you guys have to offer through Warriors Set Free. And really, I'm just grateful for this opportunity to chat with you. So thank you so much.
No, it's been my honor, brother. I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you're doing for our brothers and sisters, man. Getting information out is, I think single-handedly the most important thing that we can do, right? There's a lot of great organizations. There's a lot of great things out there for people. But if we don't have people like you spreading the word, then nobody knows about it. So from the bottom of my heart, Scott, thank you so much for what you do. I know you've been doing this for a long time. You have been, I hope that one day you get to see the legacy that you've left and the amount of people's lives that you've changed by the information you've put out. So thank you, brother.
Thanks so much. Those are great and encouraging words, and I do appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, man.